From Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to just have a look at that just now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, Paul is speaking. He says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind." My sister has just moved to a retirement village, so she's downsized. And I've helped her to move, and I've helped her to downsize. I've took some of the plants and for myself and things like this, and some of the knickknacks I've taken. So, because how many of you know that over life you accumulate a lot of goods? Have you known that? How many of you people here have got cupboards and you don't know what you got in them? Come on, be honest, be honest. Yeah, you accumulate stuff. And my sister, who never thought she was a hoarder, rang me the other day and said, "John," she says, "I've got a lot more stuff I need to give away." She said, "I just can't get it into this little unit that I'm going into, this retirement village. I've accumulated so much." I remember when we moved, me and Julie, nearly 2 years ago now, and we downsized. I had this lovely, beautiful shed, big shed, with 40 years of rubbish in it. You'd call it rubbish. I call it stuff that I could use. You know, from going back to when I was in pest control, crawling under floors, finding stuff and pulling it out, thinking I can use that one day. You know, rusty screwdrivers, rusty spanners, and things. But, you know, and it's all gone. I've had to downsize. I've had to get rid of a lot of stuff, stuff that I didn't know I'd got. Stuff I did know I'd got, but other stuff I didn't know. We accumulate, we carry some kind of backpack around with us. Now, you see people who have backpacks? I've never worn one. I usually carry a suitcase if I'm going, but people carry these backpacks. Anybody got a backpack here? A few of you have. Now, some of them, when you watch them, they're full of stuff, chockers. Other people don't have so much. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, if you're going on a long holiday somewhere, walking a lot with this backpack on, it could get very, very heavy. But we accumulate things as we travel through life, naturally, mentally, and spiritually. We accumulate good things and bad things. Some people hoard things. They just do it. They just can't help it. They have to hold on to all sorts of rubbish, and not good rubbish. Rubbish that attracts vermin, insects, spiders. Rubbish that can give diseases. Rubbish that hinders their lifestyle. We've met or heard about such people, haven't we? Who just, their houses and their gardens are just full of rubbish that you just complain about to the council. Get them to clean that place up. They hoard it. Just can't help it. Rubbish can give diseases. Rubbish that hinders their lifestyle. We've met them. We know about them. They exist. Most of us understand the concept of rubbish bins. We know what to hold on to and what to throw away, but some people don't. Most of us here do know what to hold on to and what to throw away. I'm talking about physical, material, natural things, okay? Like milk bottles and things like that. That's what I'm talking about. But what about people who collect mental rubbish and won't let go? Because we all collect mental rubbish as we travel through life. Now, I just said to you, how many people have got cupboards and you don't know what you've got in them? I noticed a lot of you didn't put your hands up, but I guess if you go home this afternoon and start going through your cupboards, you'll find stuff there that you didn't know you'd got. Come on, I'll lay odds that you'll find stuff there you didn't know you've got. Stuff that you did at one time, no, but now you've forgotten about. You've put it away and forgotten. How many people put things away and forget where they put them? Yeah, a few more hands went up doing that. Some of you are very good. Some of you don't collect rubbish and some of you don't do things like that. Of course you do. Of course you do. But what about the people who collect mental rubbish and won't let go? We all collect mental rubbish as we travel through life. I remember one lady in Armidale that Julie and myself were very good friends with, and she was quite a wealthy lady, and she lived up in the Armidale Hills. She had this massive house, beautiful, and the husband died, and it got just too big for her. She was getting on in years, and she had to downsize, and it was hard work for her to downsize. She moved into a tiny little unit in Armidale, and my heart went out to her, because I've been in ours a number of times. Magnificent furniture. I'm telling you, she was wealthy, and she had to downsize and get rid of it all. And it really broke her heart. And she was thinking, what should I take? What should I keep? What should I hang on to? And downsizing can be hard when you look at it that way. And I feel for people like that. But people who hoard rubbish, I don't feel for you at all. But there is one good thing about downsizing. It reminds us something. Do you know what that is? That when you go, you're going to go in a box. And you can't put much in that box with you. Because you're not a pharaoh. They're not going to build a pyramid for you to put all this stuff in. You're going in a box. And there's not much you can put in that box. When you go, you really downsize. Come on, don't you? You're well and truly downsized. But your Jesus says, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. That word in the Greek means spacious rooms. I may have downsized a couple of years ago, but a time is coming when I'm going to stop downsizing. And I tell you, the Lord's going to get a little bit upset with me with the stuff that I'm going to hoard in heaven. I'm going to keep on collecting and collecting because he's giving us a spacious room in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That's to come. But at the moment, that isn't with us. But people do collect mental rubbish. We collect mental rubbish as we travel through life. Life can be cruel, lonely, unforgiving, hard, and unfair. And if you haven't discovered that, you're probably only about 2 years of age. Because all of us here have discovered that life is not a bowl of cherries. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life can become cruel. Right? Life can become disappointing. We've discovered that. Listen to this. We all collect mental rubbish as we travel through life. Why? Because life can be cruel, lonely, unforgiving, hard, and unfair. Everyone picks up hurts, and in turn, we hurt others. Everybody, listen to me. Everybody picks up hurts, and in turn, we hurt others. Listen, I am not excluding anybody in this congregation from that phrase. I am not excluding any of you. Every single one of you here have picked up hurts. Every one of you. Is something happening there? We're right. Oh, it's dripping water. Okay, thanks. Every one of us, don't care who we are, have picked up some hurt. I'm looking around here, even the youngest of you have been hurt. Some of you have picked up more hurts than others. Everyone picks up hurts, and in turn, we hurt others. We learn through what happens to us in life, the cruelty of life. We learn to hate. We learn to be indifferent, to be ungrateful. We learn to be racially discriminative. We learn that. Little kids don't have it. They learn it from their parents or from other kids. They learn it. You pick up hurts, things that you've learned from others. We learn many bad things because life can be cruel. We can be bullied, used, misunderstood. All of us get hurt by something or someone. Some people battle with physical illness. Others battle with mental illness. None of us are immune from pain. Now, you don't need me to tell you this because you know it. I'm not looking at one person that hasn't had pain of some sort. I'm not just talking physical pain, and that's bad. But some of you, most of you, all of you have had some emotional stress, some mental stress. Something has happened that's really hurt you, disappointed you, caused you maybe to be angry. And what happens, that starts to accumulate in our life if we're not careful. None of us are immune from pain. We all suffer some kind of trauma. And sadly, a lot of people carry it around with them. It can be in the form of past memories that we hold on to, bad memories, marriage failure, family breakup, work problems. These things can lead to a sense of failure or inferiority, which drives people to loneliness. All of us carry some baggage that makes our backpack unbearable. I know we don't carry one, most of us, only a couple of people put hands up to say they carry a physical backpack, but every one of us actually carry an emotional backpack or a mental backpack. We all do. And we've got to be careful what goes into that emotional backpack, because it can become heavy and hard for us to carry. We must change our thinking and throw out that which will damage us. Lighten your backpack. Lighten your load. Learn to carry through life that which will help you. Of course, beautiful scripture in Philippians 4:8 and Matthew 11:28. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me." When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are weary and ever laden," he wasn't talking about you who are working too hard physically. He wasn't saying, "If you're working too hard, come to me, I'll give you rest." He didn't say that. Let me just tell you something about hard work. Never killed anybody. I'm not talking about hard physical work. We all need to work. And Jesus wasn't saying to these people, "You're working too hard, come to me, you don't have to work." He wasn't saying that. He was talking to peasants, he was talking to slaves, he was talking to farmers. He wasn't saying to them, "If you think you're working too hard, come to me, I'll give you." No. He says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened. Burdened with hurts, burdened with cares, burdened with sickness, burdened with disappointments, burdened. You've gone through life and you've picked things up that have so disappointed you that there's not the laughter that there used to be. There's not the joy that there used to be. There's what comes out of your mouth is a whole lot of complaining and moaning." And I mentioned this to you before, but I know that when people hear sermons, they only remember 10 minutes of any 1 hour that is preached. So a lot of you will have forgotten what I've said. But there's a beautiful book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Who's heard of that book? Okay, a magnificent book written by a guy called John Bunyan in the medieval times, 1500s, he wrote it. And what he does, he's liking a Christian, liking us, Christians, to people who had a burden on their back, who were sinners, but came to the cross and the burden rolled away. And then they're going to travel from where the burden rolled away to get to heaven. So they're going through life's journey. All of you who know Jesus have come to the cross and the burden of sin has rolled away. Can you say amen? Amen. But you're still traveling through life. And if you're not careful, you can put some other burdens on you. You could still start to pick up burdens. And as he walks through, he meets all sorts of characters through life on his way to the celestial or the heavenly city. And he comes to one guy. And in this book that I was reading, it had a wonderful illustrations of people who this guy had sketched certain characters. He came to one guy that was called, listen to this, the Muck Raker. The Muck, M-U-C-K, the Muck Raker. In medieval times, they didn't have sanitation like we've got today. They didn't have drains. Do you know where people used to throw their rubbish? On the street. Outside, they're rubbish. There's no toilets to flush. There wasn't such a thing. It all got thrown outside. And they used to employ people that they called muck rakers. So the guy's job from early morning till late at night, he's got a big rake and his head is down and he's raking all the rubbish, the muck. And this guy is depicted, him. He's got a long beard, long torn hat, and his face is miserable. Because all he's doing all day long is looking at muck. He's not lifting up to see the beautiful sun, the clouds, the blue sky. No, he's got his head in the muck. Can I ask you this? If you had a job 8 hours, 10 hours a day, raking muck, how would you feel? You wouldn't be singing along, "The hills are alive." You would be singing songs to bring joy to you, would you? You'd be feeling pretty bad. I'm glad we don't have muck rakers today. Uh-oh, we do. I've met a few. I've even met some in the church. Muck rakers, who all they want to do is rake the muck that's been gathered around them. That's all they do, just rake it. They didn't know where to rake it to. You just raked it. Because they didn't have rubbish tips. They just raked the muck from that area. Then they rake some over to that area. Then they rake it back over to that area. But some more's come there, so they rake that. It's just a muck raker. Do you know, we've got to be careful, friends, because as we accumulate stuff that we don't want or don't need, mentally and emotionally, we can become muck rakers. I've met a few of them, and I pray to God I'll never, ever become a muck raker. I don't want to go around complaining, moaning, groaning about the things that I've accumulated. I don't want to do that. I don't want to accumulate that many hurts that when you come to me, all I want to talk about are my hurts. I don't want to do that. So you say to me, "John, how are you?" I say, "I'm great." Not, "Do you really want to know?" I'm amazed, you know. How many people, you know, how many shops do you go into now when every shop you go into, and they've been told, they've got to do this, you know, behind the counter there or behind the, they say, "How are you today?" I think, you don't really want to know. Can you imagine if everybody stopped to tell them how they really was? They'd probably, in some cases, only get through one customer a day. Because the customer, they're all day telling them how they really feel. And then they say, "How are you today?" And as you start to, "Have a good day." They don't really mean that. But the reality is, a lot of those people who, when they say to them, "How are you today?" they're hurting. They're lonely. They're lost. They're full of unforgiveness, bitterness, strife. Their life is a mess because they've accumulated stuff that they haven't been able to let go. Let's be careful that we don't become muckrakers. We must change our thinking and throw out that which will damage us. Lighten our load. Life is too short to carry destructive burdens. Can you say amen to that? Let me say, life is too, and it goes so quick. I used to be 25. And when they used to talk about somebody the age of 70, I used to think, that's years away. I'll never be 70s. It's an eternity away, 70 years. Look at these lovely young people here. I'd say 70. They think, eternity away. No, it's not. It's not. You're there before you know where you are. She's getting up to it now. Before you know where you are, before you know where you are, bang, it's there. Life is too short. Let me tell you, life is too short to carry all your problems around with you. Too short to do that. Some people are so stuck in life, it's like being stuck in a traffic jam. They can't go forward emotionally, mentally. They can't go forward. The bigger the burden or backpack you carry, the slower you travel. The burden becomes so big that we cannot move forward at all. Now, this is what the devil wants. He wants to hinder you, to bind you in fetters of circumstances that takes away your joy and peace. This is not what God wants. God wants you to move forward and enjoy life, to be in peace and joy so that you can be fulfilled. Don't let the devil overburden you with more than you can carry. There is hope for you today. When I used to pastor, I always thought that I was a good pastor. I really did. But sometimes people would come to me and say, "You're not." I've had people come to me and say, "You've got no love." And, you know, really, when you're pastoring, it's very, it's a lot of different people with different ideas. And often used to people say to me, because I used to say this to our church quite often, if you're ill, I'll pray for you. If you're downcast, I'll pray for you. If you need counsel, come to me. I'll help you and counsel you. I'll pray with you. But what I won't do is carry your burden. I used to know this person. And so don't nobody get upset by what I'm saying. Please hear the rest of the sermon before you walk out. But I used to know this person, this Christian, who used to say to me, when I pray with people, I really empathize with them. I feel the pain that they feel. Pastor John, I literally feel it. If somebody's got a bad leg and I'm praying, I really feel the pain. I says, rubbish. Absolute rubbish. You're not supposed to feel the pain of other people. The only person who feels their pain is Jesus. Jesus died to set them free. He took their sorrow. He took their pain. He took their suffering. Will I pray for people? Yeah. Can I cry for people because I feel empathetic? Of course I can. But will I let you put your pain on me? Forget it. I've got enough of my own. Well, actually, I haven't, because I let Jesus take it away. Do you want to have a look at my rubbish dump? My rubbish bin? It's clean. Clean. Disinfected as well. He took all my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. Let me just tell you, I will not allow any human being to put their problem on me. I will listen to their problem. I will pray for their problem. I will even weep with them. But I will not let their problem become mine, because if I did as a pastor, I'd never smile again. I had people at 3:30 knocking on my door in all sorts of upset and turmoil. I'd only been a pastor for 2 weeks when a lady came into my office, and I'm only just a pastor. I'm just getting into the job. I've got all my office desk set out so long. She walks into the office, lady in our church. She walks in so upset. She went like this to all the stuff on my table. Whack! Knocked it all off. I said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Do you really want to know what's wrong with me? I thought, no, I don't, but I did listen to her. I listened to her. If you let them, friend, if you let that, and there's many people with hurts and pains and trouble, they will burden you so that you can't be happy at all. Well, I won't let that happen. So people used to say, don't go to Pastor John, he's got no love. Well, he has. He's got a lot of love. I've got that much love that I won't let you put your burden on me, and I'll show you the better way to put your burden on Jesus, because he can carry it. Tell you something, I can't carry your burden. It took me all my time to carry my own. I can't carry yours. Don't expect that pastors are supposed to carry the burdens of people. They're not. We cast our burdens on him because he cares for us. We will help, we will care, we will pray, we will give, we will weep with you sincerely. But when we finish the conversation, the joy of the Lord is going to keep on welling up within us. Come on, don't look at me. Now, I've upset a few people, Pastor Pamela. I can tell by the faces now. No wonder they said he's got no love. I think exactly the same way. I'm giving you some real good advice here today. There was a woman who came to Jesus when he sat at a well in Samaria. He was tired. The Bible said he was tired, so he sat down there. The disciples went into the town to get some food, and he sat at the well. And this woman came on her own with a water jar. Most unusual, because all the women usually came at the same time. She was on her own. It wasn't long before the conversation that you realized why she was on her own. And when she came to draw water, Jesus said to her, give us a drink. And she says, what are you asking me for? I'm a Samaritan, and you are a Jew. Or, I'm a Muslim, and you are a Christian. It was just like that. Why are you asking me? We're enemies. And he says, if you knew who was asking you to give you a drink, to give him a drink of water, if you knew who I was, you would ask me. And I will give you water of which you'll never be thirsty again. When you draw the water from this well, you'll drink it, but you'll be thirsty again. But I can give you water so you'll never be thirsty. Well, that really got her interest. And they had this long conversation. And during the conversation, he says, go to the woman, go and call your husband. And she says, I've got no husband. And he says to her, you're absolutely right. In fact, you've had five. And the one you've got now isn't yours. That really knocked her for six, that one did. She's had five husbands. And the one she's got now is not her husband. That's why she was on her own at this well, because the other women in the village wanted nothing to do with her. They would have regarded her as an outcast. They would have regarded her as little more than a prostitute, literally. That's why she was on her own. She was burdened. She was lonely. She hadn't found the love that she wanted. She'd had these five men, six men, and she obviously didn't find what she wanted. Instead of getting free, she accumulated more trauma, more burdens, more disappointment, more anger, more frustration, just accumulated. And now she's met Jesus, and he started to talk to her in a way she'd never knew before. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she really started to receive who he was. He says to her, I'm the Messiah, and she believed it. And it says, she ran back to the village, listen to this, to tell the men in the village about him. Isn't that interesting? She fetched the men. Do you know why she didn't go to the women? Because they wouldn't listen to her. They wouldn't listen to her. But she went to the men. If she can get the men interested, she can get the women interested. And do you know what she did? She left a water jar at the well. She ran off and left. The Bible actually says that. She left her water jar, her burden. That which she'd come out to try to get, the water which would continue to give her, make her thirsty, she left it at the well, and she went back free. Hallelujah. And the disciples came, and they were bewildered when they saw Jesus talking. Were bewildered about him. And they said to him, do you want something to eat? Now we've been, and he said, I've got food, the likes of which you don't even understand. And they thought, somebody already fed him. Well, yeah, he'd been fed by ministering to this woman, and her need had been met, and she'd left her burdens. Where? With Jesus. Do you like that? Come on, she left a burden with Jesus. And that's exactly what you and I can do. This Samaritan woman found life as she came to Jesus. If you feel like a failure, Jesus can make it right. If you feel like you're giving too easy to lust or sin, Jesus can make it right. Life is not fair. Life is not easy. Life is troublesome. Life is boring. Life is hard. Life is painful. Life is weary. Without Jesus, life holds very little hope. In many cases, no hope at all. Tonight, our pubs will be full. Our entertainment places will be full. Our nightclubs will be full. People will be drinking too much alcohol. People will be pushing too much drugs. Do you know why? To try to get away from the boredom, the burden, the loneliness. That's why they're there. They're not there to become drug addicts. They're not there to become alcoholics. That's not what they want. They're looking for companionship. They're looking for friendship. They're looking for some sort of happiness. They're looking for some sort of fulfillment. Sad thing is, they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking to alcohol or to drugs or to sex or to money or to power or authority. They're looking in the wrong places because the water that they drink, they're still thirsty afterwards. And the drugs that some people tonight will take drugs for the first time. And they'll get a high. And they'll say, that's so good, it made me forget. It made me forget my inferiority. Made me forget my bullying husband. Made me forget my wife who's always nagging me. Made me forget my boss who's always riding me. It made me forget it was good. I want to do that again. So they'll do it again. Then they'll do it again. And then again, and then before long, that drug that they're taking becomes their master. It becomes their burden. It becomes their death warrant. So they can't walk out the door without having a shot, without having a pill, without having a drink. They can't walk out without it. Because it was the wrong thing they turned to. Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. You take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to tell you, the yoke of drugs is not easy and it's not light. It's both soul destroying and physically destroying. I know life can be boring. I know life can be painful. I understand all this. That's what it's like out there. One famous politician says, and they put it in all the newspapers after he said it, life wasn't meant to be easy. Do you remember who remembers that quote from the famous politician? A few of you read the papers. Life wasn't meant to be easy. Well, let me just tell you, that politician got it wrong, because God meant it to be easy. When God gave Adam and Eve that garden, he gave them everything that they needed. He wanted them to be fulfilled, full of joy and peace. Life was never meant to be cruel, full of bondage and pain. That's what we've done. We've looked in the wrong sources. We've looked in the wrong sources. But you know what? Our burdens can be lifted. Our backpack can be filled with good things that will help us to travel and not injure us. We are not to become victims of our circumstances. We should become products of the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. When we accumulate mental, spiritual, or rubbish such as that, the rubbish of life, it hurts. But Jesus is telling us to come to him. He'll lift it. When we get our burdens and mental rubbish given to Jesus, life becomes sweet. What are you carrying around in your backpack? I'm asking each of you now personally. Have you got things there that's causing you some strife? Have you got some bitterness, unforgiveness? Have you got things that have been in your life that you can't let go? Past memories that you just can't let go? They tell me that if you hold a glass of water or a little bottle, that is no weight in my hand at all. That is as light as a feather to me right now. But if I hold it like that for an hour, for 2 hours, well, I probably couldn't hold it for 2 hours. I couldn't even hold my arm up for 2 hours. That little bit of weight will weigh me down if I don't let it go. And your little bit of bitterness or unforgiveness or even sinfulness that you don't think, well, it's not important. Oh, yes, it is. Because eventually it will weigh you down and eventually it will rob you of your peace and your joy that Jesus wants you to have. Come on. It'll do that. So you've got to let it go. Put it down. Whatever it is in your life, whatever has happened in your past, let's have that scripture back up again if we can, because the Apostle Paul was an old man when he wrote this. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards, he's saying something wonderful here. I am not going to let the past drag me down. I refuse to be a victim of my circumstances. Just because you wasn't born into a wealthy family, don't give up. Because you wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, don't give up. Because in the class, you never were able to put your hand up to answer those problems that the teacher asked. You could never even understand them, let alone answer them. Don't give up. Things that have happened in your past, experiences with men or women that went sour and did some damage to you, don't give up. Don't let those things hang on to you. Let go of them. Give them away to Jesus. Our sin can become the heaviest weight of all if we let it. Let Jesus carry our load of sin. So what is in your heart? Is there some lust? Some hurt? Some bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, hatred? Give it to Jesus. Let Jesus carry your load of sin. The weight of sin is ultimately the heaviest burden that we carry. Even though at times we do not realize it, sin not dealt with will stop us dead in our tracks. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin must be dealt with. Don't fool around with sin. It will destroy you. Life is full of failures, weaknesses, and trouble. So much so that we become tired and weary of living. Jesus says, you come to me and I will give you rest. We all carry a backpack. What is yours? You can have it lifted today by Jesus. And he can put something in your backpack, listen to this, that is as light as air. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why don't you carry that in your backpack? I'm talking about your spiritual backpack, your heart. Am I letting my past destroy the heart that Jesus wants me to have? If I do, I'm a fool. You may say, but Pastor John, it's all right you talking like this. You didn't come from where I came from. You wasn't brought up in the family I was brought up in. You didn't have a husband that I had. You didn't have a wife that I had. You didn't have a parent that I had. You didn't have a boss at work. That you could say all those things. You'd probably find, if you really talked to me long enough, that I did. You know, I had all those things. I had a bad upbringing. A shocker. Was not born with a silver spoon. And wasn't born with intelligence. I don't know where I was when the intelligence was being handed out. Probably right at the end of the line. Teachers used to tell me that. Teachers did. One teacher once said to me, Warwick, you don't have an inferiority complex. You're just inferior. A teacher told me that. I was 11 years of age when a teacher stood me up and said, you're inferior. How would you think effect that would have on you? I didn't go out singing. I thought that was bad. Friends, do you know what? I don't let any of those things stop me. Because at the age of 15, I gave my life to Jesus. And I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Take a look at this man, everybody. This guy hasn't got a silver spoon in his mouth. It's gold. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've got a home in heaven, like I've told you, friends. A home in heaven where I'll never have to downsize again. Hallelujah. Where good things are given to bless us, to do us good. Because I refuse to let the past, my dad, my siblings, many, many other things I could talk about. I refuse to let them drag me down. I refuse to let them control my life. My future will not be dictated by my past. Come on. I'm a product of the cross. Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul says. And he wasn't talking about the good things. He means the mistakes he made. The bad things he'd done. I'm going to forget them. I'm going to press on in Jesus. Glory to God. So what about you? This word was laid on my heart very heavy. And so I know time has gone. Ooh, time has really gone. We might have to miss communion if that's okay. Would you see how the Lord works? But he laid this on my heart. That there's people here. You're carrying some burden. You're not as happy as you know you should be. You're not as free as you know you should be. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's hurts. Maybe it's something in the past. Or maybe it's just a total disappointment with yourself. Don't answer this. I'm just saying this. Don't answer it out loud. How many of you look in the mirror and think, boy, I don't like what I see. I wish I could see something different. I used to be like that as a kid. I'd look in the mirror, look at my face, look at my body, and think, I wish I was somebody else. I hate me. Hated me. Hated my life completely. Not anymore. I reckon I'm one of the best looking men on planet Earth today. Now, you may not, but guess what? I'm not bothered about that because he thinks I'm good looking because I've got the stamp of Jesus on me. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's not the physical appearance. It's what you are in your heart that counts. So I want to pray for people here who would say to me, John, you've hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. There's things in my life that I've not let go. There's things in my life that hinder me and hold me back. I don't like it, but I've given up because I've tried and nothing seems to happen. Well, maybe you need to really hear these words of Jesus again. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You could put your name there. Come to me. John, come to me. John, you're weary, you're burdened, you're heavy laden. John, come to me. Make it personal. Just close your eyes. Make this personal. Now, Jesus is speaking your name. I believe Jesus is speaking your name. He's personalizing it. I know there's a congregation of people here. There's a group of people. But he's not seeing you as a group. He's seeing you as individuals. And he knows what you've gone through. He knows the pain. There's nothing that has happened that he does not know about. And he's saying to you right now, come to me. You may never have been a Christian. You may never have had your sins forgiven. What he's saying to you, come to me. Come to me. The things you've done wrong, hey, I'm going to put it right. I'll forgive you and cleanse you and make you a new person. You may have come to Jesus, but you've allowed the world to press in. So there's a bit of muck raking going on. Come on, stop it. Stop it. Don't look down at the muck and the mud and the mire. Look up and see the glory of the Lord. Look up to the heavens and see that bright, shining light of God. He wants to lift you, not destroy you. So I'm going to ask you today, if you know that's you, and God's speaking to you, you know there's things in your life that you've held on to. You may not even consciously held on to them, but you know they're there. It's not something that you've gone out of your way, but you know it's there. On the other hand, there may be people here who've purposely gone out of their way to hold on to things that hurt them. Well, let it go and let love fill your heart today. Let me pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you and you need a prayer, nobody looking around, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. God bless 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 you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You could put your hands down. Let's just ponder for a moment what God is doing here. People have responded because they know that God is speaking to them through me. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I know that. I am nothing. Man, I've had to let a lot of bad things go in my life. Just had to do that. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here preaching to you today. So I'm nobody, I'm nothing. I'm only a conduit for God. Just, I want to flow through me to you. So the words that you've heard, I believe, are words that God's put on my heart for you. So you've just heard the word of God. You've responded, a lot of you, and raised your hands. God bless you for that. But are there others here who've not responded? Who perhaps your pride would stop you responding? Or perhaps because you think, well, what is the point? Nothing's going to change. Hey, come on, let's start using faith. With God, all things are possible. Let's start believing God. The devil will say to you, nothing will change. You'll be the same when you walk out of this building as you came in. Well, that's a lie. Because if you come to Jesus, things will change. If you actually right now say, Jesus, I'm gonna make this decision to give this burden to you, and I refuse to walk out of this building with it. I'm going to leave it behind at the foot of the cross. I refuse to take it with me. If you have that determination, I'll tell you, you'll walk out different to what you came in. So those who haven't raised their hand, but you know you should, do you need to raise it just now so I can see and add you in this prayer? If you do, just, yeah, God bless you. Thank you, 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 God bless you. Let's just stand in the presence of the Lord, shall we? Father, you see all those people that raised their hand this morning. Lord, you've spoken to them personally. You've spoken, Lord. You've used me. And Lord, I realize that I'm not the most eloquent person in the world. I know, but Lord, I'm just a vessel. But the anointing of the Spirit of God has spoken to these people today. Because I've spoke your word, Lord. You've told us we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So for every man and woman and young person that raised their hand, I pray for each one of them. Now, Lord, I don't know what is going off in their life. I can't see the hurt. I can't see the anxiety or the pain or the frustration. I don't know what it is, Lord, that they're facing, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, or spiritual. But you do see. Holy Spirit, you see them right now. Holy Spirit, just come into their heart right now and put your loving arms around and about them and just let them know very, very real, Lord, that you have heard them and they've responded positively, and they're going to put their burden on you now, and you lift it in the name of Jesus. Satan, we tell you, get out of this place. You are a liar and a deceiver. They're going to leave that burden at the foot of the cross. They will not be any longer looking to the past to guide them. No. Their life is not going to be controlled by the past. Their life will be controlled by the cross of Jesus Christ, which isn't just in the past. It's right now here in the present. They are not a victim of their circumstances. They are a product of the cross of Jesus Christ. And they go from this place with that problem solved and healed, lifted from them in the name of Jesus. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll fill that void with some good things. I pray love will fill them. Joy in the Holy Spirit will fill them. The peace of God that passes all understanding will fill them. Let the fruit of the Spirit, the whole fruit of the Spirit, now come and take residence to fill them as they got rid of that burden. And Lord, I pray not one man or woman will take that burden back again. Never, ever, ever. They are free from the burden of sin. They are free from the shackles that the enemy wants to put upon them. They are free through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I don't know everybody here. Lord, I don't know. How many people here would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior personally? You'd personally like to give him your heart and life. Or maybe you've backslidden. You've come into this place this morning pretty spiritually cold. And you know you're in a bad place. You know you should be in the arms of Jesus. Can I pray for you that Jesus will receive you and forgive you of anything and everything you ever did wrong and make you part of the family of God? I'm not telling you to join this church. I'm telling you to come to the family of God, which is a worldwide family. Can I pray for you? Please keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. If you need forgiveness of your sins to be washed clean, let me pray for you. If you need to come to Jesus because you want to receive him as your personal Savior, just raise your hand so I can see it just now, and I'll pray for you. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. I want to see it. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else would say, I want to come to Jesus. I know I'm not in this place today by chance. You're not here by chance, by the way, friends. This isn't a chance meeting. God's given me this word. It's a very powerful word, I know, because he's dealing with people. I'm going to give the appeal one more time in case somebody else needs to receive Jesus and get their lives right. Just raise your hand so I can see it, and I'll pray for you along with these other people. Anybody? Just raise it. I want to see. Okay. Okay, we're going to pray. Father, for those who raise their hand, may the love of Jesus fill them now. May your forgiveness flow upon them now. May sin be dealt with. May the gift of eternal life be bestowed in a way that they've never experienced before. And may they go out of this place on a high. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm sorry for taking so much time. We was going to have communion, but we won't have it because time has gone. We're going to go into time of fellowship now. But people who've been ministered to, if you need to talk to somebody here, myself, Pastor Pamela, or some one of the elders, or someone, be free to talk. And if you need more prayer, we're here for you. So stay and have coffee and tea with us. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.